This mortal coil.
Well, in this mortal coil tonight, we're going to talk about the truth. Why do we even care about the idea of something being true? And what happens if and when we do stop caring? Well, these are big questions. They're especially relevant now in an age where misinformation and disinformation spread so easily in terms like fake news are bandied about. Well, to try to understand more about the notion of truth and how it came to be a social value worth defending, our next guest has turned to ancient Greece and to some big thinkers, people like Herodotus and Thucydides. Julia Kint is a professor of ancient history from the University of Sydney School of Humanities. And Julia served on a government panel looking at disinformation and has been researching the historical roots of truth. Welcome, Julia. Good to have you on Nightlife.
Thank you so much, Susan, for having me.
Now, do you think we've taken the idea of the truth for granted in our society?
That's an excellent question. I would say yes and no. I think, of course, by now, I mean, as you already said, everybody is aware of the prevalence of mis and disinformation and the problems that causes in society in different areas. But what really strikes me is that very few people actually ask questions about the bigger picture. And that means what is at stake in the current moment? What kind of forces and dynamics drive the spread of misinformation and fake news in the here and now? And what can we actually do to stop this from happening time and time again, and perhaps even getting worse? So I think the bigger questions are important.
Yeah. So and that's why you've gone deeper to ask the big idea of what truth is and why we need it. And that project talks about how truth, quote, emerged as a problem in classical Greece. What do you mean truth emerged as a problem or was a problem?
It's really actually quite interesting. So I'm interested in the question when truth as an idea, and so not particular kind of truth, but the idea of truth as such, when that first emerged as a communal value and a critical concept or an idea. And we can actually date this quite precisely to the transition of the 6th and 5th century BCE. And this was a time, so before that time, truth was spoken by oracles and poets and prophets and kings qua their office in society. And what the kind of truths they spoke were really absolute and nobody questioned them. And then with the 6th and 5th century BCE, truth, the concept of truth really changed. It became what it is, pretty much what we still think of the truth now, a communal value, something that brings us together, that can also pull us apart, but something we can all in a way buy into, something good to think with. And at the same time, with that kind of concept of truth as a critical idea, the idea of the love, socialize and misinformation also started to take hold. So it's actually really quite interesting because the two concepts go together really, or have always gone together.
Now, the funny thing, Julia, I mean, you talk about the oracles and a lot of people listened to everything the oracles had to say, but they kind of also talked a lot of garbage that didn't come true, right?
Well, in some ways, the oracles was always true, but the question was always, could you interpret it in the right way, right? And people really went wrong often because the oracles were ambiguous or misleading, but they were really also part of a whole, I mean, they were part of the of archaic Greece, right? And where the gods were meant to convey what the absolute truth, and either you could work it out or you couldn't. But you couldn't really argue with an oracle as you could with, a politician today or with we with each other. That's the difference of truth becoming a critical concept.
And what were the conditions in ancient Athens that made people start asking questions like, but is it true? I mean, why in Athens and why at that time that you've talked about?
This is really quite fascinating because the discovery or invention of the idea of truth as a communal value really coincides with the emergence of democracy at Athens and elsewhere in the Greek world. So rather than, you know, following the rulings of kings or aristocrats, people suddenly had to take things into their own hands. They had to think things through and discuss communal problems. They had to agree and disagree with each other. And truth as an idea really became very useful to think with in this regard, in kind of deliberations in society to build consensus. So it was an important facilitator to come to an agreement and to allow for joint action. And this is why it coincided, I guess, with democracy.
I love that. I mean, I guess you could draw a parallel. Yeah, a lot of us would say, look, if you're going to be a voter, you have to be responsible. You go out, you have to go and do research and figure out, you know, what is true and what is the best policy. So you know, looking for the truth is part of taking that responsibility for making decisions.
That's right. Yeah. And of course, so this is why it's also related to trust, right? What kind of people can we trust in terms of providing truths? And also in terms of, you know, proof, you can't just make claims. You need to be able to prove them. That's also an invention that came about, the idea of proof at the transition of the 6th and to the 5th century BCE, with people like Herodotus and Thucydides and a lot of other thinkers suddenly trying to present truths for the claims they make.
Now, let's. It's This Mortal Coil, and I'm talking with Professor Yulia Kint, who's Professor of Ancient History at the School of Humanities at the University of Sydney. So let's talk about Herodotus. I mean, he's known as the father of history. He wrote quite an extraordinary book, and he traveled around the Mediterranean and wrote stories about what he saw, but he also wrote stories that he heard of things that had happened even in the centuries past. What was his relationship with the truth and his view on it?
Yeah, so I think you said Herodotus was the father of history, but he was, of course, also accused of being the father of lies. And that's because his texts, the histories, have many fantastic elements. I mean, some of you might know about the gold digging ants he talks about, or the flying snakes. And that is really why Plutarch called him the father of lies. But to see him only as that is not entirely fair, because Herodotus clearly worked very hard to try to establish the facts and to carve out an idea of the real and factual from the realm of myth and storytelling. And it's not, you know, when we look back today, it's easy to dismiss him and say, oh, he got so many things wrong. But he was really one of the first people who tried to do that, to establish the facts about the past and to carve out, as I said, the notion of the real and factual from myth and storytelling. And he very much understood the truth as a problem. There are actually quite a lot of stories included in his texts that deal with the truth as a problem. And no matter whether these stories actually reflect what really happened, they are really reflections on what truth means. So there's one very interesting story in Book 7, for example, where the Persian king Xerxes asks the Greek Demaratus whether he will, the Greeks will dare to attack him. And Demaratus answers him, is it a true answer you would like, or a pleasant one? And the king says, tell me the truth and you will not suffer. And so Demaratus then warns him that the Greeks will never accept slavery. And again, as I say, I think it's very interesting, because that short story even brings out really fundamental truths about truth and power, right? He asked the king, do you want to hear a pleasant story or the truth? And I think that really hits very close to home, even for today, right? I mean, these kind of stories really reflect fundamental insights into the nature of what truth is and how it works in society.
Yeah. And what about Thucydides? What kind of role did he play in talking about ideas about the truth back in ancient Greece?
Also very interesting. So he was, of course, much more focused than Herodotus on giving an authoritative account of the factors driving war in the ancient world. But already in his opening sections, he really criticizes people who accept all stories about the past in an uncritical way, and even if they concern their own countries. And so he shows a very strong interest in accuracy and in the need to ask and interrogate information about the past before you can take it for granted, or before you even can take it and make it part of a work of history. So the idea of source criticism, I think, is very important for both Herodotus and Thucydides, that you have to question stories, where they come from, and the information at their core.
Truth has become something of an individualized concept. You often hear people say things, well, that's my truth, or that may be your truth. What do you think those thinkers of ancient Greece would have thought of this current moment that we're in?
I like that question. I think at the core of the idea of my versus your truth is a truism, really. And that's, there are always two sides, two different sides to the same story. And Herodotus and Thucydides were both well aware of this. In particular, Herodotus really goes out of his way to report different, even conflicting opinions and accounts of the same course of events. And Thucydides scrutinizes the accuracy of information he receives before it goes into his account. It becomes much more problematic when the statements about my versus your truth concerns not merely different interpretations of the same series of events, but hard facts. And then really disinformation can be indeed quite deadly. And numerous stories from Herodotus and Thucydides really illustrate this point. So if we go to Thucydides, the misguided Sicilian expedition that led to a disastrous defeat of Athens in 413 BCE, for example, is presented by Thucydides as a result of faulty and deceptive intelligence. So wrong information, really. So I think both authors would have really understood what we are dealing with at the moment. They would just probably be astonished about the scale of this problem.
Now, this is something that we're actually going to talk about. The question from Kevin, who says, can the professor tell us if science is absolute truth? Because you say, Yulia, that defending truth actually has to come from the humanities, not from the sciences. Why can't science solve our truth crisis?
Look, I think the sciences are important too. Right. And fact checking and all of that is important, too. But I think the current problems we face around mis and disinformation are a cultural problem. And culture really is the core domain of the humanities. So I would like to see the humanities take on a much more prominent role in integrating information from the sciences and the social sciences in talking to these kind of problems.
So when politicians or tech companies talk about combating misinformation, what do you think is missing from the debate?
Yeah, that's a good point. I think it goes back to what I said in the beginning of our conversation. I think so fact checking is important because but it's like a little bit like treating the symptoms, which is of course important too, the symptoms of a disease. But I think to understand what's really at stake in the current situation and what kind of currents drive this kind of trend, right, that there's always more misinformation, more disinformation, fake news, and all of how that spreads via the internet. For that, we really need to ask deeper questions. I think that's quite important. Otherwise, we will just be dealing with the symptoms, but we really need to be dealing with the root causes for these kind of developments.
You're on Nightlife on ABC Radio. Suzanne Hill with you on this Sunday night. I've got Professor Yulia Kint here, Professor of Ancient History at the School of Humanities at the University of Sydney. So I know your research aims to show what we'd lose if we gave up on truth. So in the ancient world, was Greece unique, or did any societies abandon truth as a value? And if so, what happened to them?
I think it is tempting to think that the spread of misinformation, fake news, is predominantly a symptom of modern times. But if you look back into history, you really notice that this is not true, pun intended, and that this has always, to some extent, been a problem. So there were certainly always points in time when we seem to go backwards in this regard, but history is rarely telling a story of a linear progression towards an ever more rational society, more justice, more common sense. Unfortunately, that's not true. Things are more complex than that. But I would go so far as to argue that the decline of empires, past and present, is often linked to a certain blindness towards what is really at stake in a given situation. And being able to see the hard facts or truths makes it impossible to tackle them and to find solutions. So I think it's really important for all societies, past and present, to focus on facts and truths and to really think about the common ground that brings us together. So I don't think there's a society which lost truth altogether. That would be quite harrowing. But there were always moments in time when things seemed to go backwards. And I think we are going through one such experience at the moment.
I mean, it's interesting. I mean, as a society right now, are we not at placing as much value on truth as we once did, or are we just more argumentative about what truth actually is?
Well, I think one could almost say the opposite, right? I mean, truth is everywhere, and I mean, claims to truth, arguments about truth. Trump calls his social network truth social. So truth is in everybody's mouth. But at the same time, I mean, as you said earlier, it's more my truth versus your truth. It's not so much, I mean, what we are losing is truth as something that brings us together rather than pulls us apart.
So in ancient Athens, Yulia, were there moments when the democracy itself was threatened because people stopped caring about the truth?
I wouldn't say that they stopped caring, but there were clearly already people in the 5th and 4th centuries who tried to manipulate the masses, right? And a lot of the same patterns that we see in place today were already happening in the ancient world. I mean, people, for example, not even trying to tell the truth, but just trying to win followers. You know, all these kind of trends you can already see in the past. It's just that we experience them today on a much bigger scale because, I guess, of social media and the internet.
Mm. Now, the irony here, Yulia, is that humanities departments are being cut across Australia just when we perhaps most need historians and philosophers to help us understand this truth crisis. Is that of concern to you?
Yes, it's very concerning for me. Indeed, I think I see the problems the humanities are currently facing really as a symptom of the larger maladies around how we function as a society. This should really be our moment for all the reasons I already mentioned. And instead, what we find is that the humanities are being played out against STEM disciplines, if it was an either or. And our students are really suffering from huge debts due to the job-ready graduate package and things. So it's really not a great situation. But more generally, I'm really deeply concerned about how oblivious large segments of society are to changes in funding, not merely of the arts and humanities, but the social sciences and even the hard sciences too. I really think Australia is punching well above its weight internationally in terms of the reputation of its universities and research sector. And it's certainly true that every dollar invested in research pays off in many ways. But this success too should not be taken for granted, I think. And China in particular is catching up quickly. And they are not merely investing in the sciences, but they are big in the humanities too. So I think as stakeholders of higher learning, and stakeholders of truth, I mean the universities and the humanities in particular, we clearly need to rebuild our rapport with society. But to do so, I think we need strong advocates that make visible the value that is already generated by humanities work and that is often overlooked. So what we really need is that all those who benefited from humanities education and who are now possibly the movers and shakers of society to speak up on our behalf. And this involves not only teachers and journalists like yourself, but lawyers, bankers, doctors. I mean, as I say, everybody who's done our courses in the past and who finds our work interesting, we need more advocates.
Do you see, Yulia, much reason to be hopeful for the future of truth? I mean, where do you think it's going? I've got a couple of people on the SMS just saying, you know, what about AI? What's that going to do to the truth? Where do you see us headed?
Yeah, look, at the moment, I mean, this is very interesting and I'm not an oracle myself, unfortunately, although I always wish I was one.
And if you were, then I wouldn't be able to argue with you.
That's right, exactly. Got that. I think at the moment it's hard to say where it's going, but I'm personally quite hopeful because I'm always really enthused by a lot of the good work I see happening around me and people trying to, you know, speak up and trying to get more engaged with these kind of questions. There's now a fully new field of study called the public humanities, which is an area where people try to, you know, engage with wider publics in discussions about these kind of things. And I think that's really important that we talk more to each other across different spectrums of society.
But Yulia,
and we don't always need to agree, right? It's not about pushing particular rules. It's about building trust and getting a better understanding of each other.
Yeah. Yulia, thank you for being my guest on This Mortal Coil on Nightlife tonight.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. There's Professor Yulia Klint, who is a professor of ancient history at the School of Humanities at the University of Sydney. A few of you were also sending me in some quotes about truth. Robin Inghambra says, "My grandfather told me telling fibs is like a box of chocolates. Tell one you want more." I always think of, oh, what is it? Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. And Jeff says, Napoleon said that history is just a set of lies that everyone agrees on. Thank you very much, Jeff. Thank you for your correspondence on the subject of truth here on Nightlife tonight.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.